Yes, sir, we promised you a great man.
Gorgeous girl.
Pretty classy. The maker of champions.
Andre, the giant.
WrestleMania.
Everyone has a
price. Ladies and gentlemen, it is electric.
Hey, you're fighting.
The champ is here.
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the What's on Your Mind podcast by Player Circle. I'm your host of the show, Dre Emerson, or Drizbro, however you know me by. And this is the debut episode of our new podcast series, so give us a round of applause. Things we're going to cover in this show is pop culture, sports, gaming, all the good stuff, you know, movies, music, new TV shows. And like I said, sports is a big part of what we do here, so of course we're going to include that. So yeah, let's get right into it. I'm excited to get back podcasting. It's been a long year, but finally getting the equipment and all the stuff, and I'm finally ready to get back in action. And hopefully we can continue up with this and keep putting out episodes for you as much as I can. But if you haven't guessed from the intro, today we're talking WrestleMania. My reactions from the two-night spectacle event that happened on Saturday night and Sunday night. If I got some time left over, I'm going to get into Godzilla and Kong and my reactions from it, just because it was a whole bunch of different stuff. And I try to give it a little bit of time for it to breathe before I gave out my immediate reviews. But if you follow me on Twitter, which is at Drizbro _ or at Player Circle, and that's the same thing for Twitter and Instagram. If you follow me on there, you probably heard some of my takes that I gave previously about it. But if you're new to me, you're new to the show, then you're going to hear some things I got to say. Because, you know, it was an interesting movie, to say the least. But like I said, the main part of this show, the juicy part that we're going to get into, is going to be WrestleMania. My immediate reactions from it, what I think, the biggest winners and losers. I have a question out. Is Roman Reigns the GOAT now? So if you watch WrestleMania, this is just a little, just what we're going to talk about. If you watch WrestleMania, you know Roman Reigns put on one of the, in my opinion, one of the all-time great matches, where he defeated Edge and Daniel Bryan in a triple threat match to retain his Universal Championship. Now, the match was pretty damn good. So my immediate reactions was, is Roman Reigns, like, is he in that GOAT convo? But we're going to get into that later in the show. Before I get into that, though, I do want to talk a little NBA news. Kyrie Irving, he was in the news yesterday, Sunday. I am recording this show on Monday. And just for a disclaimer, some things I'm going to talk about in this show is probably going to get addressed on Monday Night Raw tonight. So some things I'm going to talk about with WWE is likely to be addressed. I wanted to get into what my thoughts were going to be, what direction the show is going to head, but we're going to have all those answers tonight on the Raw After Mania, which is always super crazy and super fun. But yeah, before we get into that, I want to talk a little bit of NBA. Kyrie Irving, he was in the news yesterday. So on Saturday, it was the big NBA primetime matchup between the Lakers and the Nets. The Lakers ended up beating the Nets in a blowout. It's important to note, Harden wasn't playing, Braun wasn't playing, AD and Kuz were out. KD was on a minute restriction, but Kyrie was. He was playing before he was ejected. So in the third quarter, him, Kyrie Irving, and Dennis Schroeder were both ejected for the first time in their career after they had like a little, not a, like a little tussle, like a, just a little going back and forth, jawing at each other, more a little like Kyrie than Dennis Schroeder. So a video came out, and you could pretty much make out what was said between the two. I think it got translated pretty well. You could read the lips pretty well. But if you didn't watch the video, it goes like this. And just for my listeners, I am doing this podcast unfiltered, so you're going to hear some things that you might be uncomfortable hearing, or cuss words might be thrown out, stuff like that. That's just how we're going to roll on this podcast. So this is unfiltered, and just going to jump into what was said. So if you watch the video, Kyrie Irving rolls up on Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder says, "Goddamn, nigga." Kyrie immediately goes 38. He says, "Don't call me no nigga, bro. You don't know me like that. Watch your fucking mouth." So that was Saturday. Kyrie and Dennis Schroeder were both ejected after the game, but Dennis Schroeder said he apologized. Then came Sunday, when Kyrie Irving, he it wasn't like a Twitter rant, but he just sent out a tweet that pretty much addressed the situation that said, and this is what his tweet says. The N-word is a derogatory racial slur. It will never be a term of endearment, reclaimed, flipped, never forget its foul and true history. Throw that N-word out the window right alongside all those other racist words used to describe my people. We are not slaves or ends. I'm going to give y'all time a little to digest that. My immediate thoughts. I love Kyrie. If you know me, I'm a big Kyrie Irving fan. But he was tripping on this. He was tripping hard. Now, I feel him. I feel him on this tweet. I feel what he's saying. If you haven't been following Kyrie's metamorphosis of a sort since the George Floyd killing, he's been a real, not to say he wasn't before, but he's been real, you know, vocal with his feelings about things, you know, how he wants to help the community, and just pretty much real outspoken as of late, in a good way, about his community, the racial problems that happen in the world. And you can kind of see him changing into this guy where, you know, it's so much deeper than basketball to him. You know, he has a lot of things he care about, and, you know, clearly he cares a lot. And I don't want that to get misconstrued in this. Kyrie, he's a deep thinker, but, and like I said, I feel him on this. I feel him where he's coming from with that tweet, but I got to say he's tripping on that. And this is why he's tripping. When he says that, what he says as, he tells us to never forget his foul and true history. He says that it will never be a term of endearment, reclaim, flip, yada, yada, yada. Kyrie, you can't speak for all black people, because we're all not the same. We all don't think alike when it comes to the N-word. Some people might use it. Some people might share the same sentiments. You don't. Me personally, I use it. I use it in my pretty much everyday vocabulary, not like excessive with it, but I use it. And a lot of people do. A lot of people do. So for Kyrie to say, oh, it's never going to be, we're never going to flip it, it's not a term of endearment, it's like, you don't speak for everybody on this matter. Everyone's different. Everyone has a different mindset when it comes to it. And he just seems like, and this is just a bigger problem that can happen with the Nets. And the Nets are my pick to make it to the finals, don't get me wrong. But it just seems we have yet to really seen Kyrie, James, and KD all playing together in significant, you know, in back-to-backs and stuff like that. So we've yet to see them really string together a bunch of games together, but we just get more drama just coming from the Nets. Like, last week, KD was just in the news talking about how he's not motivated to win championships. And it's like, all right, dude, like, you say you're not motivated to win championships, but you went out and got Blake Griffin, LaMarcus Aldridge, James Harden, too. Like, these are people you went out to get. It was reported. And, you know, it seems like you're securing yourself a championship, but you're saying championships don't motivate you. You're saying your personal growth as a basketball player. And so it just seems like a lot of drama coming just from the Nets camp. And I just wanted to address that real quick. I'll probably get more into that on the Hooper's Lounge. That's the Hooper's Lounge, our YouTube series. And it's going to become a podcast soon. So make sure y'all check for that on the Player Circle, Twitter, and Instagram. But that's just all I wanted to get into that. I just wanted to say Kyrie, he was just tripping. But we got some of the funniest memes from that whole situation. It was really funny. I highly suggest you go search Kyrie Irving, Dennis Schroeder, yada yada on Twitter. I'm gonna take a quick break, and then we're gonna get right into this WrestleMania review. Stay tuned. So we're talking WrestleMania. Like I said, we're recording this on Monday, so some things that I might want to talk about and address, it might get answered on tonight's episode of Monday Night Raw. That's going to be coming on at 8. WrestleMania, in all, was freaking awesome. I was thoroughly pleased with the event, the two-night spectacle. The main events were what they were supposed to be. They were main events. They were big. It was some title changes. It was everything that I could have envisioned it to be, being quite honest with you. It was fun. It was awesome. It was awesome to watch. Even like the mid-card matches between like Cesaro and Seth Rollins was good. Like the Sheamus versus Matt Riddle, I thought was one of the most underrated fights of the card. Like, it had some pretty, WrestleMania in totality was pretty good. So I'm not gonna talk about every single match. I will give you the results of them, but what I'm going to talk about is my biggest winner and losers from WrestleMania. Also, I asked a question earlier in the show, is Roman Reigns the GOAT? We're going to talk about him a little bit. And then just what directions I see the company going into after WrestleMania. So, on the first night of WrestleMania, the show kicked off with Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley was the WWE Championship. He was defending his title against Drew McIntyre. Bobby Lashley choked out Drew McIntyre with the Hurt Lock. Drew McIntyre was unresponsive, so Bobby Lashley won that. Natalya and Tamina, they won the tag team turmoil to earn the women's tag team title match on night two. AJ Styles and almost defeated Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods to become the new Raw Tag Team Champions. Braun Strowman defeated Shane McMahon in his annual get my ass whooped and get thrown off something big, you know, his annual WrestleMania match. Braun Strowman defeated him. Bad Bunny and Damian Priest defeated the Miz Morrison, which was a very underrated and a very, very pretty good match. I want to say kudos, shout out to Bad Bunny for putting on an excellent match. He's the celebrity guest, one of the celebrity guests. People in WrestleMania, and he took it very seriously. You could tell he was, you know, working out everything that you heard, that he, from the moment the opportunity presented itself and him just being in the camps, working hard, and the stunts he pulled, it was pretty amazing to see. So shout out to him. The main event of night one, we saw Bianca Belair defeat Sasha Banks to become the new SmackDown Women's Championship. It was just probably one of the best matches of WrestleMania, but it was overshadowed by, I'm not going to say overshadow. It was just the triple threat between Roman Reigns and Edge and Daniel Bryan. Like I said, that was the match of the night. I'm sorry. Bianca Belair and Sasha Banks definitely comes into, but that triple threat was the match of the night. So get into more of the results from WrestleMania. And you can look all this up. Like I said, I didn't want to break down every single match because by the time I talk about this or you listen to it, Raw's always going to be going on. So you're going to get a pretty much knowing of what's happening. So, night two kicked off with The Fiend and Randy Orton, which Randy Orton won after The Fiend was distracted by Alexa Bliss in a weird type of match. I'm going to talk about that. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax defeated Natalya and Tamina, who won the tag team turmoil to retain their championships. Kevin Owens defeated Sami Zayn in their match. Sheamus defeated Matt Riddle to become the new United States champion. Apollo Crews also won big that night, becoming the new Intercontinental Champion, defeated Big E. Rhea Ripley, again, became the new champion, the new Raw Women's Champion after defeating Asuka. And like I said, Roman Reigns defeated Edge and Daniel Bryan to retain his championship. So there you have it. Those are the results. So let me get into my biggest winners and losers from WrestleMania. I want to start off with, trying to say that their match was second, but Bianca Belair, she was a big winner. I want to say her and Sasha Banks, honestly, were big winners from one of my biggest winners from WrestleMania. She stood tall with arguably one of the greatest women wrestlers of all time in Sasha Banks. I mean, we gotta keep it a bean about her. She's that. Sasha Banks is that. Like Charlotte, who? We haven't seen Charlotte. Sasha Banks is that. They delivered an all-time classic that lived up to expectations. It was also a match that made history with having two black women headlining one of the nights of the Showcase of Immortals. I want to say, the reason I say Bianca Belair was a winner is because the match itself was good. Like, she put on a really good match. Her and, you know, obviously it was a little things here and there, little hiccups there and there. Also a botch on Michael Cole's part to end the show, end the match, where he was wrongly accused Sasha Banks of kicking out. But other than that, the match itself, it was everything it was supposed to be. The ending was everything. I want to say Belair using her hair as the final crush to get over Sasha Banks was like the perfect, because it was like a little undercover theme where her hair, Belair, if you don't know Belair, she has this long, like, ponytail, like, I'm talking all the way down to her feet, like, that she can whip around like Indiana Jones, like, and it was kind of like a theme in the match, you know, Sasha Banks was using it to her advantage, but in the end, whipped Sasha Banks, and she had, like, a little mark on her stomach, like, she whipped her, puts a finisher on her, wins the championship, but the finish was so good, because you don't see, like I said, Belair, she has, and that's, like, her her get up work for hair, but it's not something that we regularly see. It's not overly used. So this was like, we got to see it on this stage and this big moment where, boom, she just whips Sasha Banks like a freaking lasso, like Indiana Jones style, just whips the hell out of her. And it was awesome to see. And I just want to say, Bella, like, this is like, it's not like the changing of a guard, but it's just like a change and a shift of where the Raw, the women's division is going. Like, Belair, and like I said, also Rhea Ripley got the win, but you have these newcomers that came from NXT. Sasha Banks, Charlotte, Becky, Bayley, they was like the four horsewomen of NXT. Now you got these new crop of NXT coming in. They're doing their thing. They're taking over. And it was a big win for them. It was a big win for the NXT girls, the ones coming up, the women, I'm sorry. And it was such a great match. It was like one of the best moments from the night. Like her just joy of just winning the match, her excitement. She was like, so it was just awesome to see Montez, him celebrating, even Sasha Banks, even her, she smiled. Like, you understand, like, her character, like, she's a boss. Like, Sasha's like, she that, like I said, she that. And for her to even, like, you know, give like a little smile to say, okay, you know, like, this is her moment. This is Bianca Belair moment. It was everything that WWE made it to be. And it was everything it was supposed to be and more. It lived up to the expectation. So Bianca Belair, you are a major winner from WrestleMania. You did your thing, girl. You performed well. The matchup was great. The ending was perfect, like I keep bringing up. You're a big winner in this. Going on to my next winner, almost. Now, this match between him and AJ Styles between the New Day was one of my sneaky favorites of WrestleMania. Because you got New Day, and I love when New Day gets cocky. Like, when New Day, like, they was like, we're effectively cutting off parts of the ring. Y'all are, like, playing the trumpet. Like, I love cocky New Day. I think it fits a character. Sometimes it could be a little annoying, but for me, I love it. But when Amos got in the ring, like, he just wrecked everything. Like, how they scripted this with AJ Styles taking the brunt of the beating at the beginning of the match. Like I said, New Day was working him pretty good, keeping him away from Almost, we kept getting teases, and finally AJ Styles was able to break away when Xavier Woods was on the top rope. AJ Styles tags him in. Xavier Woods immediately is like, oh shit. Like, and the way New Day, like, played up almost, like, it was, like, so good for him, because, and for him to be in this moment with three future Hall of Famers in the New Day and AJ Styles, for him to be every bit as comfortable in this matchup with them, it just showed that he's not going to be one of these big men that just come and go that we see in WWE. Like, he could actually have something here. And the fact that he's with AJ Styles is even better, because AJ Styles obviously is going to teach him everything. You know, his in-ring work, it still needs a little improvement. His offense, you know, it was a little, it was more to be seen. But that's why over time, hopefully, when the New Day and this feud, hopefully this feud continues so we can get some more good matches with them. Because the way he just came in and wrecked everything, I'm talking destroyed Xavier Woods, destroyed Kofi. Kofi is a former champion now, like a former world champion. Destroyed this man, picking him up, just manhandling these dudes. Like, awesome to see. His offense still needs a little bit of work, but like I said, he's a big winner in this, mainly just because how comfortable he's looked. Like, he looked like he's here to stay. And hopefully, with AJ Styles there as one of his mentor, you know, we can see a new big monster of men, basically. Like a Braun Strowman in this guy. So he's a big winner in this. I think the fans loved him. The fans loved every minute of this, of him beating up the New Day too, which made it even seem like the best booking decision for them to win the championships too. So I just want to say that, like, I think he's real over with the fans right now too. So he's a big winner. My last big winner for WrestleMania goes to my boy, my dog. He's a Shane for fame. Watch him sing. If y'all don't know about that, y'all don't know about the OG Sheamus. Sheamus, he gets rewarded for his excellent work over the past couple of months with this feud with Drew McIntyre, now with Matt Riddle, with another title reign. And honestly, like I said, like, excellent work. He deserves this reign. I'm glad that he won the title here, because, like, this match itself with him and Matt Riddle, it was good. Really good, you know, and physical. But when I talk about the Belair finish, I'm talking about when Sheamus bro-kicked Matt Riddle, It was like a, it wasn't like some devastating broke it, but that thing had him, had that dude leaking. That, it was physical. Like, that was like a, that was a good, good ass ending to that match. I really enjoyed that. Sheamus sold it in. Matt Riddle, like, he just looked like he was snapping from this. Like, he couldn't believe what just happened. And hopefully that kind of gives him this new wrinkle in his character where we see some character development from him, from just being like this guy that goes around like, bro, or bro this, bro that, and just, you know, riding a scooter around. Like, hopefully we see a little tweak in his character, and just, I'm excited to see what comes from him. So he's a winner in this too, because I know this is going to be like an ongoing feud that's going to go on for a little bit. So hopefully we see some more from these two guys. But Sheamus, my dog, he's one of my favorites. He's a big winner in this. Cause he was in some good matches with Drew McIntyre now, like on Raw, and then his the No Holds Barred match at Fastlane. Like, Sheamus deserved this. It was awesome, and I think Sheamus right now, he's pretty over with the fans too. And you know, if you're over with the fans, you're always a winner. You know. Now switching gears, we're gonna talk about my biggest losers from WrestleMania. Let's talk with the biggest loser, the biggest wuss of the night. It goes to The Fiend. Now, I was never one of those guys that was infatuated with Fiend. Like, The Fiend, he was so over with fans when he first arrived on scene. I was always like, eh. It's not like I was just hating on him, but it's just like that whole mystical, you know, horror stuff. It was all right. It was cool to see. I ain't gonna say that he didn't have some good matches or some, you know, great effects and things like that. Like, it was just, it just wasn't my thing, basically. But here you have this match with Randy Orton, who's just keeps reinventing himself. He's honestly my goat, Randy Orton. He's that bad man. So him and The Fiend in this match, I thought we got past the Fiend wrestling in red. I thought we got past that. Like, I know it's been a while since we've seen The Fiend, but I thought we got past that. But anyway, in the match, Alexa Bliss, in the climax of the match, soon Bray Wyatt looked like he's getting close to the win. Alexa Bliss comes out from the, I can't think of the name right now, but she basically came out of that thing, and her forehead, her head's just spewing blood, like this black blood everywhere, and The Fiend's looking all confused. And because of this distraction, Randy Orton was able to hit an RKO. Now, keep in mind, The Fiend was just fiending off like these big blows from Randy Orton, like, you know, like this and that, but a measly little distracted RKO was able to take him out. But that's just that. The big reason why he's the loser here is because the ending itself was lame. Like, I don't think anyone, all the people I talked to and interacted with on Twitter and stuff like that, was not into the ending. It seems like The Fiend, he's losing that thing that just had people talking about him. Like, it's like he's losing it. Like, when you lose, and then, like, for him, The Fiend character, to be taking L's, like, he lost to Seth Rollins, and, like, to continue taking L's, he just loses that mystic thing about him. That's just how I feel. And speaking of that, that also goes going to tie in with my next loser that I have up, who I hate to have on the loser list because I love her. But, and just one more thing before I get to that. A main reason why The Fiend's on this, like I said, I'm not really too much care about him, but I'm just ready for this, wherever him and this Randy Orton feud to be over with. Like, personally, I'm just ready for that thing to be over with. It's dragging on. But, like I kind of teased, my next loser is Asuka. And it hurts me to say, because I don't want to necessarily call her a loser. Like, her and Rhea Ripley, they put on a good match, but that match, now, this match was overshadowed by the SmackDown's Women's Championship bout with Belair and Banks, because everyone was so into that match. Everyone was, you know, it was talked about, the history making match. Everyone knew about it. This match between for the Raw's Women's Championship, now this, it was definitely overshadowed. It didn't have a lot of hype to it like the SmackDown Women's Championship went to, and then, and for that reason, for that reason, for this match to not just to be basically out of the blue for the last month build up to WrestleMania, for Asuka to take a L like this to this match that wasn't even hyped like this, when Asuka used to be this badass that was like undefeated, it was like taking heads night after night after night, for her to just take an L like this. And don't get me wrong, Rhea Ripley, she's that. Like I say, Sasha, like Rhea Ripley, she's on the up and coming. Like, she's gonna be great with the Raw's Women's Championship. I don't doubt that. I think she's gonna have a great run. But I just it does sit well in my mouth that Asuka just took an L like that for a match that wasn't even just built up. Like I said, in a perfect world, I would love to see Asuka retain, and then maybe if whenever Charlotte gets healthy or whatever situation she's dealing with, whatever that's going on, maybe intertwine her, because, you know, her and Rhea Ripley have some history from the last WrestleMania where Charlotte faced her and took her title. Bring Charlotte back in, maybe, you know, kind of like a little triple threat, like the men's, but it don't have to be like the men's, but you know what I'm saying? Just add like another wrinkle to it before we just gave Rhea Ripley the Raw Women's Championship. Like, I just would love to see more and more build up instead of just giving Asuka an L. And like I said, I don't want to give Asuka the L, but that's why she's on this lose, like one of the biggest losers, because it's like, it's a crime how WWE is doing her. Like, she shouldn't have lost right here. No matter how much I love Rhea Ripley, how much everyone wants to, you know, see her on the up and coming, like, you could have let that feud, like that rivalry, breathe a little bit and just let it build to be something awesome. My last loser is the women's tag division. Like, I didn't even really want to too much like talk about it, because it was just really wasn't too much to make of. Like, the WWE just, they did what they could on night one to bring all these women in and put them in the match. They do them in the little tag team turmoil match to showcase them. Then they were so hyped. The match itself, it was all right. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's basically what I'm saying. It was all right. Like, it wasn't anything to write home about. It had some great moments. Tamina had a pop when her and Nia Jax, you know, that whole little beef thing, it always, you know, delivers a pop. But Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler won here. And it's just like, who are they going to face next? Like, who is going to be the next tag team that's gonna possibly dethrone them? Like, who can we look to dethrone them? And it's like, really nobody. So the women tag team division just stays in shambles. So they, on Fiend, I'm gonna spare you, I'm gonna give the women's tag division the biggest L of WrestleMania, just because who knows like what's gonna happen to. Hopefully we get some answers tonight on Monday Night Raw, which I'm sure, but I gotta see more. And it's just, I'm still mad about the Iconics. Like, they did my girls dirty. That's all I got to say about that. Lastly, with talking about WrestleMania, Roman Reigns, is he the GOAT? He's definitely the best thing in WWE right now. There's no denying it. I want someone to argue, like, try to tell me that he's not. Roman is that dude. He's a top dog. He's a big dog. He put on one of the best matches that I've seen. Maybe I'm just living in the moment. Maybe, you know, I'm hyping it up too much, but that was a damn good match. Now, I want to say, before I talk about Roman and why I think he has my case as a GOAT, the match itself, I want to talk about the match. The match was so good. So many different elements, things. Roman, he looked like every bit of the badass in this that we thought he was going to be. Like, he is the heel, basically, of WWE right now. But he played that role to a T. Like, when he powerbombed Daniel Bryan through the table, and then he was just looking at, just minute, like, growling at, not growling, but, like, you know, looking at the fans, like, yelling at them, saying, you know, and he's like, hey, basically, like, yo, this my yard. Y'all see what I'm doing to this chump? Yeah, I better put some respect on my name now. Because remember, it was a time where the fans hated Roman. Now they're soaking it up. Like, and I feel Roman, he's just like, you know what? Nah, y'all didn't fuck with me back then. Fuck y'all now. I'm giving y'all that energy that y'all was giving me. Like, That and he's playing it to a T. Daniel Bryan, the all American man, like Daniel Bryan was awesome in this match. I'm gonna say if I had rankings in this match, it would be Roman, Daniel Bryan, Edge. I'm not hating on Edge. I love Edge, you know. Daniel Bryan had some great moments in the match. Like when possibly Roman Reigns was gonna tap out, Daniel Bryan came in, then they both put the submission on Daniel Bryan put the LaBelle lock and Edge had his submission on Roman Reigns, sorry. Yeah, Roman Reigns. Now that moment, like he just had so many key moments in the fight where he was just like, don't forget about me. Like I know it was supposed to be this Edge versus Roman Reigns big match, but don't forget about me. Like I can carry my own weight. Like you forgot I put on one of the spectacular matches at WrestleMania, my damn self. Like, you know, so like, put some respect on my name. Don't forget about me. Like Daniel Bryan has some fire moments, but getting back to is Roman Reigns a goal? Like this dude, first of all, the finish was fire. It was so many great finishes to WrestleMania. This is why I really enjoyed it. Like that's what it's all about, like telling the story in a match. You got all these three dudes going at it. You had Jey Uso had his moments where he interfered and trying to help out the top dog Roman. Then he got Edge, you know, fucked him up, took him out. Uso came back, was about to, you know, mess up where you thought it was like, okay, he about to leave his mark. And then he got, you know, handled again. And then Roman just, it was just so much, man. I'm just all over the place. I know, I'm sorry. It was just fire. When Roman, and just something I also want to talk about. When Roman and Edge speared each other, I was like, ooh. Like, when I first saw it, I was like, ooh. Because I knew it was going to happen. I was like, oh, that thing is going to hurt. That shit, like, it was going to hurt. But I think after the replay, it was like, okay, it didn't look too bad. But that thing, like, it was going to be nasty. But anyway, Roman handled, I think, I'm trying to remember exactly how it happened. Like, I know Roman, oh, no, Edge took out Daniel Bryan. Edge took out Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan was good. Corey Graves said, Daniel Bryan's out with the chair shot, with the final chair shot to the head. Daniel Bryan's head was on the chair. Edge delivered the final chair shot to the head, took him out. Roman Reigns, when that was Edge was about to look like Edge about to capitalize. I think that was when Jey Uso intervened again, and then yada yada. Basically, Roman Reigns took Edge out, did the same thing what Edge did to Daniel Bryan to Roman Reigns. Then Roman picks Daniel Bryan up, I think, or Edge, one or the other, puts them on top of each other and pins both of them. I'm talking about what an ending. What a way to say I'm that motherfucker. We got to put some respect on his name, man. Roman Reigns, he's competing and he's headlining, like he says. The company don't run without him. Check the ratings. When Roman came back, that thing was fire. He's clearly the top dog, and I just feel like he deserves some more respect on his name because I think he's a five-time champ. He's a Grand Slam champ. He's run the Royal Rumble. He's been holding WWE down basically this last half of a decade since Super Cena left the scene. He count times saved us from Brock Lesnar annoying Reigns, like, and now he's in this new heel character where he's fully embraced it. Like I said, I think he's like, man, fuck y'all fans, like y'all booed me, y'all didn't want to let me be great. Now I'm giving it back to y'all in this heel, and he's playing a role to a T, and he's doing so good in it that this is the best Roman we've seen. And he's been champion since about 6 or so months. I hope he's get a extended reign. I'm curious to see how him, Edge, and Daniel Bryan, what direction they're going to get into, but we're going to find that all on SmackDown. I was actually wrong. I went over my time dumb crazy, so I'm not going to be able to get into the Godzilla and Kong, but it's been a great show. I'm happy I was able to do this, and I will definitely talk about the Godzilla and Kong on the next episode because that's something I really want to get into, and I just want y'all, in the meantime, hit me up on Twitter at Player Circle. Let me know what y'all think of WrestleMania. Before we go, I know, like I said, I went over my time, but just real quick, my expectations for tonight is literally right now 7:47. Raw's about to come in 13 minutes, so I gotta hurry up and finish this and go catch that. My expectations, I think Becky Lynch is gonna come back. I think she's gonna make her return. She's been hinting and teasing at it. I don't know who she's gonna challenge, but I think we could see Becky Lynch maybe going after Rhea Ripley. I think that's a safe bet. Because I think Sasha and Belair might. Who knows? You know what? I could be wrong. Who knows? But for sure, I think Becky's going to come back. Maybe Ronda. Who knows? There, you know, there's been some little speculation about maybe Ronda coming back. But I think Cesaro and Kevin Owens, I want to see them get a title push of some sort to go, challenge for a big title, a world title. I want to see Apollo Crews and Big E continue this little feud, but don't overdo it. Because, obviously we're going to get some more down the road, because at the end of that match, Apollo has some help from one of the Raw Underground people to come and run some interference, help him win that title. So I expect that feud to continue, but this is just one thing. Where the hell is Brock Lesnar? Like, Bobby Lashley is the champion. We got Bobby Lashley right now running things. He is the WWE champion. Where the hell is Brock Lesnar? And why are we not getting this dream match? I'm going to leave y'all with that. Follow Player Circle at Twitter, Instagram. We're on Facebook. About to be on TikTok, Snapchat. We're about to be on everything soon. Message me, DM me some questions, things you want to see me talk about on the next show. And send me some of your reactions and reviews from Godzilla and Kong, because I'm going to talk about that next episode. It's been real. This was the debut episode of the What's On Your Mind podcast by Player Circle. I'm your host, Dre Emerson. Thank you for listening, and I am out. See you soon.